Ladies and gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. You guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now, all right?
You gotta understand, Kevintro. This is how we scout our players here on the show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Herons are back.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 160 of the Battle Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, Mr. KBD. How are you doing, sir?
Well, according to Broward Heron, Bumbaclot, the USA is getting destroyed by Jamaica. Rasglad.
It was a quick 30-second, quick hitter quitter, as some people would say. Yeah. And a lot of people upset with the Triple G over there.
Yeah, man. And I'm pretty sure Ben, one of the OGs in the Battered Herons, would have some opinions for sure at this point.
He hated Greg so much. He would really be disdained. But we are actually, we saw, first of all, everybody in the chat killing us for being on late. We are actually still waiting for our guest to arrive. I spoke to him 2 hours ago. He said he would be here. And he hasn't arrived yet, unfortunately. So we are waiting for his arrival. So that's where we're at. I mean, we don't really have too much on the Red Bulls front. I mean, we do know who's going to be out for them on international duty. John Tolkien, Daniel Edelman, Carlos Coronel, which is the keeper, Emil Forsberg, Noah Ellie, the center back, and Corey Burke. So those are the players that are out. So they have 6 players that are out on international duty. Forsberg obviously being the biggest name, but somebody that will be, I believe, available is our boy Lewis Morgan. How are you feeling about seeing Lewis Morgan again?
Well, I think seeing Lewis Morgan, to be honest, is going to be sort of bittersweet. I mean, everybody's like, oh, rivalry game. Like, dude, it's been years. It's been years since we shelved this guy. You know what I mean? Like, What kind of rivalry, what kind of a payback game is this going to be? Like, he's just going to play because he's going to play. Like, you think that he's butthurt about what's happening in Miami? Like, he's literally 2 years removed from this.
But I feel like whenever somebody does – because, look, he was the best player on our team for the first 2 years of our existence. And on top of that, it was while Higuain was here. Higuain's first season here, or half season, whatever you want to call it. Luis Morgan was still the best player on this team. It was completely – we got blindsided as a fan base when we let him go. And if I was him, I'd want to kill Miami every time I played him also, because he played his ass off for us and we didn't treat him or give him the credit he deserved.
I mean, I'm trying to think, right? Like, if I'm Luis Morgan and I'm going against Inter Miami, like, who are players that are on Inter Miami right now that I played with? If I'm Luis Morgan – who's nobody on the team that I played with? Absolutely no one.
Especially this week. Because Drake is gone. Nobody.
Not even Noah Allen.
Nobody.
It's absolutely no one. There's no one on this team that Lewis Morgan has any sort of association with. Not the coach, not the coaching staff, the owners, I guess. Yeah. Other than that, like, players on the field, absolutely no. Maybe Robbie Robinson.
There's maybe one, but we have no idea what
Robbie Robinson's in a cryo chamber somewhere. So, like, I don't even know what's going on with that guy. So, I mean, at this point, he's going to see nobody that he's familiar with. It's been like 2+ years since being removed from the team. So, I don't know. I don't think that there's like this extra juice coming out of like Lewis Morgan and, pause real quick. That he's going to, like, muster up in order to, like, play us better, you know, like, well, a chip on his shoulder.
I really wish our our guest was here, because I am kind of curious as to Lewis Morgan's played 4 games so far this season, but he's only started 2 of them.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious as to seeing why he hasn't started all 4 games. Maybe he's nicked up. Maybe he has he's just not that guy anymore. Maybe he lost his spot. So I'm kind of curious. Unfortunately, I didn't look that deep into the Red Bulls before this because we had a guest to talk about it.
Name me the players once again that are going to be missing. So you got Forsberg. You got the goalie Carlos.
I'll tell you right now. It was John Talkin, their left back. Daniel Edelman, center mid.
Carlos Edelman's out in a red card anyway. He wouldn't have played regardless.
Carlos Coronel, goalkeeper. Emil Forsberg, central mid. Noah Eli, center back. And Corey Burke, he's a forward.
Yeah, man. They would have missed. They would have lost 5 starters. Just looking back at the last game when they played against the Columbus Crew and got annihilated. 5 out of the 6 names you mentioned were starters.
Okay, okay. Thank you for saying that, because that's what I was about to look up. I was going to see how many of those are actually starters. So 5 out of 6.
Yes, extra juice, Mr. Krabs.
I feel like the MLS in general, the depth of teams isn't that great. But if anybody has depth, it's us, because we are also down 6 players on international duty. And who do we have left over? Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets, Luis Suarez, Robert Taylor, Campan. So we're not looking too bad as far as depth goes against the Red Bulls this weekend.
Well, you mentioned Campana, but let me tell you, he has some sort of an injury to a body part that sounds horrifying. And I don't know what the name is of this body part. It's like a knee or something in the lower area. He's injured. So, we don't even know if Campana is going to show. I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if he's going to start. But, we do have hell of a depth in on this team. Let me tell you. The key player to me, and I forgot to mention this yesterday, to me, it's going to be Sunderland. Sunderland's going to fucking go ham.
I feel like when he's gotten on the pitch, he's looked great.
Sunderland is going to fucking go bananas on this team. It's going to go bad. And Robert Taylor, we're big on Robert Taylor, baby. Robert Taylor's going to come in and he's going to fucking take his fucking dong out and slap a couple Red Bulls with it.
And then Leonardo Fernandez mentioned something that a lot of people say. The MLS, honestly, is the stupidest league in the world when it comes to international break. This is a joke. How do you not take a 2-week break? Ridiculous. Well, unfortunately, the MLS doesn't follow the traditional calendar that a lot of other leagues follow. And this is the only time in the year that they don't take the international break. And it's for friendlies. And another thing is, and you have to understand that the MLS is just starting to accommodate to this because of the fact that the MLS, you know how much you guys think that it sucks talent-wise? Up until just a couple years ago, there weren't a lot of international players that were playing in the MLS.
Yeah,
you didn't have this many players that were being called up. So it wasn't that big a deal, right? But now, because the talent is improving, all of a sudden, now we're seeing a bunch of teams that are missing 4, 5, 6 players. This is something that's new to the league over the last few years. Last year, they played through, 2 or 3 breaks. This year, they're only doing it through 1, and it's a bunch of friendlies. So, it's going to get better. Just got to give it time. They're adjusting on the fly. And like I said, it's just for friendlies, so I don't think it's that big a deal.
And look at this. El Bigote says here, adductor. Ikem says, the adductor. I don't even know where that is, but that sounds horrifying. If you have a problem with your adductor, you need a doctor immediately. That's what that sounds like.
I just got contacted by our guest, so give me 1 second, and you keep going while I finish getting him on here.
Yeah, well, again, we do have a lot of depth that's going to be helping us out for sure with this game. As far as defensively is concerned, maybe Saylor will see some time. Other than Saylor, Christoph's not going to be going anywhere. You still have Toto Aviles that he's going to be there. Other than that, I feel defensively we're going to go with the like I mentioned yesterday, like you brought up, and a lot of people said 5 in the back. Just throw the whole camp back there, and we'll be straight.
Are you worried? I feel a lot better, and when our guest comes on, we'll see. But I feel a lot better seeing how many pieces they're going to be missing. Honestly, I think that we're going to be okay. I feel a little better about Saturday. If we were to lose, how are you feeling?
I mean, if we lose, like I said, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's going to be a big deal.
Because they're so undermanned also, I think I would be a little annoyed.
Give me just a second. Take me off camera. I look like a floating head.
He told me to take him off camera. I think I took him mid-speech. All right. Oh, wait. He's still there. No, he's leaving. Okay. So going into the game, while I wait here for Chris to come back and our guest to jump on, I still think we're going to play five in the back. And I think that that's the best way to go, especially with the people that we're going to be missing. We have here Andres Castaneda is predicting a 3-2 victory. The only thing that worries me is how this back line is going to handle the press. But that's the constant issue that we've had this whole preseason and what I've been worried about. But for the most part, outside of CJ Dos Santos, our center backs have been playing together now regularly on and off for the couple games now. Jordi Alba is there as an outlet on the left. On the right, Julian Gressel will be there. So I, all in all, I'm feeling pretty confident about Saturday. And while we wait for Chris to come back, our guest Gary Redmond is on here. So let me bring him on stage. How you doing, Mr. Gary Redmond?
Pleased and honored to be here, gentlemen. Thank you for the invite. We had some technical issues here in the Northeast. My internet died. But because I'm also a computer technician, we always have a reliable backup. So here, I am. I always live on the plan B.
I'm gonna start on there, and people are welcoming you. Welcome, Gary. Hi, Gary. So let me start with the weather. What's the weather looking like up in the Northeast?
Well, at the moment, you got weather people talking about that it's spring. This is second day, full day of spring, but you wouldn't know about it if you walked outside. It has the temperature has now reached out to 20s with a 15 in the teens. Oh. So it's pretty chilly out here, here in New York. But that's also a precursor to what's going to happen on Saturday, where the weather is forecasted to be heavy rain on Saturday afternoon.
Ooh, okay.
So just like we had on opening night when we had a deluge. Yeah, well, this is part two. Seems that Mother Nature is not quite done with us yet for trying to bring spring football and such. But the good thing is that the pitch at Red Bull Arena is one of the finest in the league, so it can handle all that rain. I don't think it's going to be much of a play, much of a trouble for either teams, although the weather could be the X factor. But when you're playing on a carpet, which can take the worst of it and still look good and feel good to the players, I don't think that's going to be a problem for either side.
Considering the weather and the fact that Messi isn't playing, how are the tickets looking? Because our co-host Chris has been considering booking a flight to watch the game in person, but now that you're telling me it's probably going to rain and the fact that Messi isn't playing, I heard that the tickets were really expensive just a couple weeks ago, but I'm assuming they're plummeting right now.
Absolutely. The one nice thing is if Chris is coming up here to Red Bull Arena, one key factor, but unlike most arenas in Major League Soccer, the roof covers 100% of the seating. So it's like watching a game under a huge umbrella. If they covered the huge hole that's around Red Bull Arena, it could be a domed stadium. That's how much of the roof covers the seating. The only drawback in is the wind. If it blows in some direction, a couple of rows are going to get wet. It happens. It's not a big deal. But with 99% of the seats covered, under a roof, don't think that's a problem. If Messi did play, it was supposed to be highlighted by the league as one of the early season blockbusters, right? You have the GOAT, you have the team on the rise, you have Emil Forsberg, you know, on the team looking to put up a challenge, but he's not here. Messi's not here. Half your squad is injured or missing, same Forsberg as ours.
Yeah.
Forsberg is not going to be there. He's, you know, he's basically hanging around with Sweden along with, you know, Ellie. He, you know, he's with the under 21s. Tolkien with the United States team under the under 21s. Coronel is with Carlos Coronel, our starting goaltender with Paraguay. Burke with Jamaica, who's currently winning
against the USA,
as we speak. So there's going to be a lot of folks, and there's going to be a lot of no-shows for this match. So if anybody came here looking for the great one, he ain't here. So if anyone's looking for, you're going to be seeing a lot of understudies. However, and I want to make this clear, however, if you look over Inter Miami, they got Julian Gressel. Okay, uh-huh. You know, they got Suarez. Uh-huh. They got a bunch of guys that can actually get the job done. So if I'm Miami, I'm feeling pretty confident about this, you know, about this game, because you're facing a team with literally half its strength. As far as the team itself, Red Bulls, how they look good so far. Well, that's just it. The good news is they looked good before their first loss versus Columbus Crew. They played fairly well against teams that were, well, let's be fair, missing key players, okay? Nashville, Houston, Dallas. They're all missing their key players. They got a draw against Nashville. They won against Houston on the road, beat Dallas at home in their opener. Then they got a reality check. There you go. Just so you disappear for a second. Then they got a nasty reality check against the Columbus Crew that had – basically their fans in a fetal position over the loss, but it was expected. I mean, you know, this was one of the things that the fans complained about improving the roster. You went up against a team that was with a half a, you know, with just Forsberg and two other players, and that's it. That's not going to get it done in this conference. And if you look at Daniel, every team in the Eastern Conference has improved. The Red right. Bulls only marginally. It's not gonna get done. Just having Forsberg, which is great, it builds a little interest. We haven't had that since Thierry Henry, but to be honest, it's not enough on the roster. It's not enough.
We were talking about Lewis Morgan earlier before you hopped on, and we were curious as to what's going on with Lewis Morgan. We love Lewis Morgan down here. We hated that we let him go. We saw he's only started two of the four games. Is he not a regular starter for the Red Bulls anymore?
He's still a regular starter. And as a matter of fact, they're counting on him a little bit. He's coming back off of a very serious injury, hip injury. He had surgery. He's now 100%. So in a way, he's working his way back into fitness. There are some flashes of his quality where he left off before he got injured. So they're taking it day by day. He will be playing in this game on Saturday. That's a fact. All the players you would be concerned about, him. Okay, the guy likes to score with you. He likes to score against you. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about how the shape of the defense or Inter Miami, my big fear is that he can be removed from the play. He can be removed from the ball. And if he doesn't get a whole lot of touches, he's not going to be much of a threat. If he does, he's going to cause problems. The other weakness about the New York Red Bulls, as you probably know, they mm-hmm. can't score too much. Okay. They're scoring. They're a young team, and their cohesiveness is just simply not there. Not yet, anyway. They're still trying to get to know each other, especially when you have new pieces coming in. The other big deal, long balls. They're susceptible to that. As what happened over in Columbus, it took two long balls at this, you know, the disassembled the defense. That's correct. And that's all it takes. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing about the Red Bulls. That's their strength. And what their major strength is, it's also their glaring weakness. Any team can unlock that defense one simple pass. And it was kind of crazy that when Columbus did it twice, in the first half. It was almost like they were giving the team a little warning. Hey, we know how to unlock your defense. When the second time happened, they got a goal, and it just simply fell flat from there. The other strengths about them, their defense has improved. Of course, now Ellie is not there, but you are talking about one of the brothers there, you know, Sean Nealis. He's one of the best defenders, but he's nursing an abductor injury. You have his brother, Dylan Nealis. He's coming along, but he's more of a spark starter. Everybody else in that defense, there's glaring weaknesses on that side. Of course, on the right side, the big, you know, wouldn't say exactly is it a weakness. Yeah, matter of fact, I am saying it's a weakness. Of course, you have Kyle Duncan, who his play has dropped. Okay, where he was very kind of with a lot of pacey on the right side, getting able to ball those crosses over, you know, over the box. He's kind of faded somewhat. So now you got a weakness on the left side. You don't know who's playing on the right side. Probably, you know, probably going to have one guy off from the Red Bull too. Midfield is kind of cut in half. Edelman's not there, but Amaya is there. So you got to find a way to bring the ball up somehow.
So even with all these missing pieces, you guys are still going to – you would expect that they're still going to play the same way and still try to press high and just win without possessing the ball?
This is who they are. This is what they do. And the good news is, unlike the coaches that had previously, this guy has a – you know, Sandro Schwartz has a plan B. So he does know how to be a little flexible with the players that he has. So I don't think they're going to be too much of a, you know, how should I put it? A hostage as far as, you know, doing the high press. You're going to see it, but not all the time here. They understand that they don't have the manpower to get that done. They're looking at what they see in the field and they say, okay, how do I contain Suarez? How do I keep, you know, Gressel quiet? Keep the midfield quiet. It's going to be a battle in the midfield. And then when you have your midfield and our midfield, I'm going to give the edge over to York and get over the edge of Miami because of the pieces they have left. And there's still quality there. But anytime you get the ball to any one of those guys, Gressel and maybe Suarez, you got a chance, man. I mean, that's how I'm looking at it.
Well, that's what we were saying, because in the MLS, because of the salary cap and all those other things that go into the rosters, the depth isn't there. So you miss 6-7 players, you're bare bones. But we're missing 6 players on international duty. We're missing Messi on top of that. So that's 7 players. And we still have Luis Suarez, Busquets, Jordi Alba, Campana, Robert Taylor. So we still got a pretty deep squad, even though we're missing 7 players. So I think Inter Miami fans should all feel pretty confident. But my question to you is, how do the Red Bulls, how do they attack offensively if the press isn't working?
Well, the key thing here is how they're able to string the passes in the midfield. You do have Frankie Amaya back there. He's pretty much a destroyer, and he can be able to make some connections. The other young guy they have there, I forgot his name right off the bat. My apologies. But if they insert him in the lineup, they can work together. The good thing is that although it's pretty much a young squad, they've been playing together for a while. So they've been in this situation before. We've lost players, and somehow the guys off the bench, you know, they go through a next man up mentality. And don't discount that. They know how to bring it if necessary. But their glaring weakness, Daniel, young squad. Young teams don't win too many games. They're there with the athleticism and the speed and everything else, and how much you can keep up with them. But if you got quality, you know, you do have quality on the side of Inter Miami, but they're a little bit on the older side. So it kind of evens out somewhat. But then when you have old pros like Jordi Alba, Busquets, and everyone that knows how to unlock a defense in just a single pass like that, it forces the Red Bulls basically to play perfect soccer. You can't make mistakes. And then when you have a team backed up against a wall like that, where mistakes are going to happen, they usually do. And I hate to almost say this, but in this match early on, the Red Bulls are playing with house money. I wrote a column about the not bringing enough of the depth for that solid, solid spot with every other team, every top tier team in the Eastern Conference has it, yours in particular. The team that does not have a lot of depth off the bench, they're going to find themselves somewhere at the bottom of the barrel. Now, the Red Bulls, believe it or not, they may be one or two pieces away from being a serious contender, a serious side. And until that happens, no, we're not ready yet. This is something I told the fans, earlier in the season during training camp. I like the ambition that they're signing better players, but they can't just simply stop at someone that we grab from their front, from one of their, family teams, and a young dude that, Malmo FF is a serious team. They have great, they have grand players, but you need more. And then if you want to compete in this conference, two players is not going to make it.
The East is deep for sure. So you said the weakness is obviously the fact that you miss so many players, the youth. The strength, I'm assuming, is the Red Bull that you guys inject into your veins and just press for 90 minutes. But you said that you might not even do that. So what exactly is the strength going into Saturday?
Well, we talked to the coach earlier today during their press conference, and he mentioned that there was going to be some wrinkles in the way that the lineup is going to be and how they're going to approach the game. My guess is that they're just going to not, as far as pushing the ball up, in the case, I don't think they're going to rely on the press too much, knowing that they don't have the guys there to get it done. So my guess is you're going to employ a 4-4-2 lineup and see where it goes from there. The key thing here is Lewis Morgan and Elias Manuel. If they're paired together, how should I put this? Lewis is a threat by himself, but Manuel needs the ball, and he's going to have to step up there. Same thing with Dante Van Zier. Dante Van Zier is coming off a hamstring injury. So there's that. So the question among the fans is, okay, what type of team is going to come up? What type of team are you going to have come kickoff? Where's your offense is going to come from? Where is your midfield going to come from? We're not worried about the defense too much. But then again, when the ball's just coming down your throat with with Suarez coming at you left and right, it's going to be tested. I see both teams are going to be tested with their benches and somewhat, but I think if you ask me right now, who do I give the edge to? It's going to be Inter Miami based on the quality that you have alone. You got a young squad against some very serious and accomplished ballers who are now, just even now, hitting their stride. And there's almost no contest here. But the X factor, if you ask me, where's the strength coming in? The strength will come in from their youth. And we'll see what happens. If they don't make a whole lot of mistakes in this, and that's a key thing, Daniel, that you may want to watch in this game. How many turnovers? How many forced turnovers? How many, how many times they're going to make, hit on those passes on those runs? Can they make those runs? If they can able to do that for 90 minutes during a torrential rainstorm, they got a chance. But if they stub their line, if they stub their toe and flub their lines all over the place like they did, okay,
in Columbus,
it's going to be worse. It's going to be an even worse beatdown that I've seen versus Columbus, because Columbus just simply said, okay, that's nice. And basically, whoop, disappeared there again. There you go.
Busquets is somebody that can hit that long ball. And we should have Robert Taylor up top that, he can get the transition going. And let me
there
just
switch
this over here. Chris is finally joining us again. Chris, Gary was telling us why we're going to kick the Red Bulls' ass on Saturday.
Well, I was just one thing I was just wondering, and it's funny because Danny and I were just talking about it before you hopped on, is that you guys are going to be missing a lot of starters, five out of the six people that are going to be going on international duty are starters. So I like that. Yeah. It's going to be a tough blow, to be honest.
We had some people asking about your backup goalie.
Well, let's put it this way. Ryan Mira hasn't seen a shot in anger in so long that putting him there against your guys is almost suicide at this point. I'm thinking that we're going to be going to wind up seeing AJ Marcucci, who's young, dynamic. He definitely has a stop. AJ Marcucci. He was anchoring the defense in the New York Red Bull two sides. He did pretty well until he got injured. He's now back. He's fit, and he's fit, and he's good to go. However, the level of play that he's going to be facing, I don't know. Okay, there's a question mark there. Ryan Mara, he's been a perpetual backup for, I don't know, forever. And when I mean forever, I mean the last time he stood between the pipes, it did not go very well. He wasn't ready. He was flat-footed. He was a step slow. So putting him back there, giving him the start, I'd be really concerned. I'd be really worried. I'd be like, okay, how much do you really want to win this game, coach? If I'm he, I'm going to take my chance with Marcucci other than Ryan. Ryan I like. Ryan Mira I like. But he hasn't played. He hasn't got any trigger action in a long time. He's going to be gun shy, and he's going to be shot to pieces by some of your high talent ballers. I don't think that's going to work too well.
Well, I mean, and I don't know if you were going
to
mention.
If you're asking me to be honest, I am being honest.
No, I love it. Look, I love it.
And you know, we try to look at everything as unbiasedly as possible as well. But I mean, I know that if I was a Red Bulls fan, for example, if this is a game where it's sort of like half backups versus half backups, I'd be like, okay, mail it in. It's going to be a disaster, right? But if you guys put a backup or the backup's backup, the assistant to the regional manager, I mean, we're talking about that guy is going to be possibly facing up against Luis Suarez.
Yeah. I mean, once he has the ball and he starts running downhill, I guarantee you every person in that arena is going to be holding their breath because, you know, it's going to put the defense, like I was telling Daniel before you came on right now, the Red Bulls are basically paying coming into this match with house money, okay?
Yeah.
There's no other way to say it. They're coming in with house money, okay? You're forcing this team with whatever the players that you have left playing almost perfect football. The good news is the team that you're facing are not fully loaded as of yet. A lot of guys are missing. However, a lot of guys are remaining, have quality. So
yes,
it's going to, you know, you're talking about Team C versus Team B. Which one is going to win out? The only thing that I see on this side for the Red Bulls is their youth, their athleticism. A lot of those a lot of those plays you just mentioned, they're a little on the slow side. However, we're talking about senior ballers, okay?
Yes.
Guys have been there, done that, and they have class, and they know how to put the ball in the net if you give them a chance.
And
the last time you guys were here in New Jersey, this was before Messi came off the bench, held them scoring for a while, but then somebody broke out and scored one goal. Didn't even, Capana didn't even try. This is what I'm talking about.
The goal of the year?
That's pretty much it. Yeah. When the goal that stunned everyone.
Yeah.
Except yours truly. He was sitting in the bench thinking, watch this for a second. Watch they're like the little engine that could. They'll huff, they'll puff, they'll do everything until they make that mistake, that one glaring error. That allows a team like yours to put the ball in the net. It's capitalized.
And one of the things that I do have to give the Red Bulls a lot of credit for is if there's one thing that stays sort of true and true with a lot of teams is the fact that when there's like a culture or a way of playing like embedded into the team, that goes a long way, regardless of who's on the pitch. Right.
Correct.
So you guys as an organization, as a team, have adopted this sort of like, I guess, really annoying soccer strategy that a lot of people don't like, but it works.
But it works, right? I mean, you can say that, Chris, and you're dead right about that. You can say that. You can say that about every team around the world. They have their identity. They have. They know their style. You tune in looking for some beautiful soccer, right? Champagne soccer, champagne football, they call it. You're not going to get that from the Red Bulls. I hate to say that. You're not going to get that. But however, it works for them because of the personnel that they have. Absolutely. The bad news is if we want to sign ballers like, you know, Claude Giroux, nah, he ain't coming.
He's not playing that style.
Guys like, nah, he ain't coming. You know what? My knees, are you crazy? People were yelling and screaming, you know, people were yelling and screaming about, what's his name? Martinez, okay? When you cut him loose, Red Bull fans said, pick him up. The man has injured knees, and you want to bring him here with the style of play we use? Mm-hmm. He ain't coming off the Montreal. He can just stand there upfield, wait for the ball to come to him eventually. He ain't got to run very much, but that's what happens when you were pounding your knees on that hard turf in Atlanta for 3 years, okay?
Absolutely.
Nobody can tell me that turf is great for soccer. Hey, man, my knees was playing baseball. What makes you think it's worse for soccer? So it's, you know, that's, you know, it's feast or famine with the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Hey, the system, as they call it, when it works, it works. When it doesn't, you see people burning their tickets left and right. That's how that's how crazy it is. It is what it is.
I think the downfall to that strategy is that it works, but it only works for so long because the Red Bulls make the playoffs. They sometimes make big runs in the playoffs, but they just haven't been able to get over that hump.
And they get exposed. And this is, you know, and this is, you know, the – You know that this is where it is right now. I mean, fans have just about had enough with, I hate to break this to you, you know, cameo appearances in the playoffs. You know, you show up in the first round and then you're out. Last year was absolute acrimony. Fans were yelling and screaming and it wasn't enough. You made a statement saying that you're going to build up your roster to compete with the big boys. But like a grade schooler claiming that he finished his homework and he only answered one question before handing it over to the teacher, that ain't gonna work, man. That's no. You sign a couple of players, nice, thanks. I mean, no offense. I mean, hey, I'm not hating that they brought in Forsberg, but you need more. You need a lot more. Take a look at the teams on the left and right of you. They have bulked up their rosters. Portland just snagged a forward that you, for some reason, couldn't get yet, other than the other two, who, unfortunately, I call them, you know, my milk carton, you know, list, because no one has seen you guys, okay?
Yeah.
And that includes, you know, and that includes Van Zier. I haven't seen him fully healthy since he got here. It hurts. You know, when you see other teams bulk up and they're ready for the long game. Meanwhile, Red Bull, New York is still playing a short game. And this is where it annoys the fans. But we rather have this team than none at all. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. For sure. And Danny, I don't know if you've gotten to predictions, but I'm like locked and loaded, bro.
No, we're about to get into predictions. Just real quick, before we get into the predictions part, when you're beating that high press, you need somebody like Busquets that can give you that long ball. Like you said, Columbus beat you with the long ball a couple of times when they beat you 3-0. I was looking up the stats, and Inter Miami are in second place with accurate long balls so far in the league. And Columbus is right behind them at fifth. And the Red Bulls are worst in the Eastern Conference. So obviously we use the long ball quite a bit.
Number one.
Right. So we use the long ball quite a bit. And with Busquets there, I think that they'll be able to find an outlet to either Jordi Alba running up the left side or Robert Taylor, whether he's playing as a forward or at a midfielder, I think that's going to play to our advantage. The fact that we're missing so many players, but you guys are also, brings me some solace. So I feel pretty good about it. So do you want to start with the predictions? Or Gary, let's start with you. How do you see this game playing out on Saturday?
Only a couple of X factors, of course, is their youth and, of course, the weather. Past that point, I just don't see a path for them to win this match. There's just, you know, you're going up against guys who have a lot of quality, okay? You're going up against young guys who probably haven't gotten together yet. Remember what I said about the cohesiveness. You got a lot of guys who have not known how to play together yet. And
right.
Despite the fact that they're one and two pieces away from being that team, I'm not looking for a blowout. I will say 2-0 into Miami. 2-0. I mean, that's how I look at it. My question is, other than Morgan, who do you got on offense? Mm-hmm. Okay. Other than Nealis brothers, who do you have on defense? And if you have someone who's been untested, but yet we're willing to step up. And keep this in mind, Chris, Daniel. This team does have a tendency to surprise people when they put it together. However, going up against your squad with that type of quality, that's going to be a tough sled. You know, without your best players in the lineup. Even with your best players on the lineup, you still come up ahead. Think about that for a second. If we had a fully loaded squad going up with your guys, nah. And this is what the fans want. So I'm going to say a 2-0. You know, I said this in my pod. You know, I said this in my podcast. 2-0 loss. I'm holding to it until somebody shows me what they can do. Am I hoping for maybe a surprise? Great, and then I have something to write about it in my column post game. But it's one of those things where. You look at your team, Chris, Daniel, and it's something that I complained about during the offseason. Said, there you go. See, they have their – so we're right back where we were last year when we had benches beating the first squad, your first 11. What kind of nonsense is that? We'll see who's right.
My thing about this game is that our weakness since the preseason has been beating the press. And teams have kind of focused in on pressing us high and us figuring out how to break that down. Now, with the injuries and the lack of depth in the midfield, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of outlets for our center backs to pass out to. Now, Busquets, if we can get the ball to Busquets, I'm sure he can get things going forward. But I don't know. One strategy that a lot of teams have been using is man-marking Busquets when mm-hmm. we don't have any other midfielders available. And that has caused a lot of issues for us. With all that being said, the fact that you guys are so undermanned, I think, plays to our advantage. Because if we had this team coming up against you guys and you guys were fully healthy, I might think otherwise. But because you guys are also undermanned, I also agree with you, and I'm going to go 2-0. I think we win 2-0. We figure out a way to get the ball to Luis Suarez or Robert Taylor in space, and they'll make some magic happen off of just one or two chances. And
right. Something that I said before. It's not allowed. I'm not saying that the Red Bulls are the worst team in Eastern Conference.
Right.
Far from it.
Right.
What I'm saying is, okay, with the people that you have left, mm-hmm. who do you got to dish the ball to score, mm-hmm. and who do you got to stop these guys? Because I don't see it. Now,
right.
if you step up big time and do what you got to do and put that high press and put it to work, great. But then you're coming up against your team with a missing man formation. Something is going to drop. And I'm going to be sitting right there in the rain going, okay, here's my red magic marker. This guy's missing. This guy's missing. This guy's missing. And when you got a coach like Tata Martinez, who's been there, done that, that's just the thing. You got guys, including your coaches, that have been there, done that. Sandro Schwartz, well, he's just a soccer nerd from Germany who's just seen his league for the very first time. Not putting anything right past him. His interviews are really fun. And they really are. I mean, we're trying to interview him. He's funny, he's cool, and everything else. But he's just yet again another coach learning the league on the job. Chris, over to you, man.
Well, I was actually gonna go with 2-1 yesterday, but then kind of really looking at all the facts, I think that it could still be possible that we could score three goals, just considering the fact that, like, if our team can be able to figure out a way to sort of get behind all of the pressing, I think that we can definitely capitalize. I think that we're gonna get scored on, because our defense isn't the greatest.
That's the only other thing that I see. I've been watching your games, and there are wrinkles to your defense, surprisingly, shockingly. And like, okay, I'm sitting there going, okay, how did that goal just happen? Who fell asleep in the wheel? Okay, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward I'm looking to see that, but there's a lot of weight coming on the offensive side that I don't think the Red Bulls are going to be able to recover. And I'm just being honest here. I mean, as much as I want these guys to win, as much as I would love to see these guys to win, Chris, Dan, I just don't see it. I really don't.
Yeah.
And we lead the league in offside calls. We get called offside by far the most in the league. So we're going to be trying to beat that back line. We're going to time those runs perfectly. So eventually we're going to get one of those. So I definitely think we go. Go ahead, Chris. What's your prediction?
My prediction is 3-1, Danny. Bada boom, bada bing. That's it. That says it's going to be 3-1. That's what I think. Can we get to the fun stuff now, Danny, or what?
Yes. And if anybody has any questions for Gary about the Red Bulls or New Jersey or anything, I know I've seen a couple of things popping up here and there. Ask them now.
I try to be as honest as I can when it comes to this game.
Somebody did mention a comment that I really wanted to mention, because the moment that they mentioned this comment, I just thought of I don't know if you listen to the Wu-Tang Clan, but
I do.
Somebody put up, there's a secret chamber behind Gary's bookshelf. So it just made me think, like, you got the 37th chamber back there, you know?
Well, I got a lot of reading material back there. I got a lot of old stuff that I collect here and there. The one thing I wish I had was like an actual secret chamber that I can sneak into my next door neighbor's house and grab some of their food and everything. Because when she cooks her food and stuff like that, the hallways get filled up, and it's really something special.
Some of their bandwidth.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanksgiving was something special.
Yeah. Now we got to have our fun, because typically at the end of these, we always go through with a guest a couple silly questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a picture up here, right? And it's a sandwich, right? And now this sandwich, you got to pick one of the ways you got to cut it. Are you cutting it diagonally, or are you cutting it north to south?
I'm cutting it diagonally. I always do.
Oh, man, that hurt
always. Me. That hurt. Oh, sorry, man. I mean, there's very few sandwiches I cut in half like a hero or something like that. But nah, man. That's not how I was brought up.
Oh yeah.
Dangly,
yeah,
man.
now the next picture I'm gonna show you is this is me at the grocery store, and I'm shopping with the shopping cart in front of me, right? Mm-hmm. Now grocery stores in the Northeast, I think you're gonna have to do it the other way. But this is the way that I shop. So are you a cart puller or are you a cart pusher?
I don't even use a cart at all. They got these mini baskets and stuff like that. When I shop and stuff, light. So light. I can get what I need. Yep.
In, so you make several out. Trips.
No, I don't make several trips. I just make in, out, done. I get what I need, what I want. I'm too organized when it comes like that. Maybe when I was younger, but when you get older, now you know exactly what you want and what you need. You zero in on it. Pay for it, bounce. That's it. I got what I need.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Gary, listen, Gary seems like a very efficient man, Danny. So, like,
hey.
I'll take that. No shopping carts.
Well, Gary, do you ever eat cereal by any chance?
I do, as a matter of fact. I do. I got the little kid in me. I got to satisfy once in a while. My girlfriend, she wants to make sure I don't eat anything sweet. But, hey, when she's not here, I sneak a little Cheerios or whatever it gets me when I got. Right.
I got a question for you then.
Hit him with it, Danny. Right. Hit him with it.
All right.
Well, here it comes.
Me and Chris have a back and forth. because he eats his cereal, and then when he's done with the cereal, he slurps his milk like it's an oyster. I, on the other hand, well, either like put a little more cereal in it, or I dump out the milk. What do you, are you a slurper or are you a dumper?
Oh my God.
But you really want to know the truth? I'm both.
Oh, okay. How is that possible? That. You like slurp it and spit it out?
Depending, no, I don't never spit. I don't believe in waste. I mean, it depends on the cereal. If it's, it depends on the cereal. If it's something sweet, I'm all in. After I'm doing the cereal, hit the bowl, I'm good to go. As far as dumping the milk in there, try not to get too much.
Sweet milk. I can't do it. I don't know how you guys do it.
You a clown, Danny. Get out of here.
You're a slurper.
Yeah. Well, the thing that slowed me down these days, I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't do that too much. Yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. This is what I tell people, like you guys are obviously younger than me. When you get to my age, when you're 50 plus, you'll understand.
In the meantime, keep having
fun. But when you get to my age, trust me, you'll start going, damn, I can't do that stuff no more. Okay.
Well, I got one more question, and this is from one of our biggest commenters here. Mike V is asking, and I love this question because my name is spelt very differently. He's asking, question, are all the Garys with only one R lame and weak?
Well, see, that's a problem. My name isn't spelt with one R. It's two.
Well, that's why he's asking that. So, like, the ones with one R, are they whack?
They have to be, because I always correct people all the time.
Hell yeah.
And when people say, your name is... I always tell people, when people give me stuff, with my name on it, I always tell them, okay, understand something here. It's Gary as in Shandling, not Gary as in Indiana. Okay, my mom, when I was born, she gave me two R's. Hand them over. For some reason, people feel like they want to take that R away from me. I know I have three R's in my name, but they're satisfied. You only get two. No. Every time I go in the press box, there's only one press box that gets it right. Everybody else, I got one. I get one R. I'm like, Jesus.
I literally spelled
it out for you, and you still give me that one R.
I could feel the disrespect, Gary, because people do it to me all the time with Christian. They spell it with a CH.
I'm not a religion.
Right. Throw a K on that. Get out of here with that CH.
Put some K on that.
Yeah. Some respect on that. And Daniel's just one of the billion.
Looks like the United States has scored. So we got a 1-1 game. There we go.
In the 98th minute.
You figured they were good for them.
Yeah,
looks like my internet came back on just in time for that. This was fun, guys. This was a lot of fun. Can't wait to have you both on our show, of course, on the return leg. Absolutely. You're more than welcome to come in and do damage.
Gary, let everybody know where they could find you if they want some Red Bulls talk or just want to hear from Gary.
You can find us every Monday. You can find us live 8 p.m. every Monday and on our RBDG, the podcast, on our YouTube channel. We're also on Spotify. We're also on goals.tv. So feel free to come in. One thing about our live show, you can tune in, ask some questions and everything else, and have we're three guys that have too much fun, sharing in it. So step on up and ask any questions you may have, especially when you see you guys do.
All right. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us and appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Through the technical difficulties. I know that your bandwidth and all that other stuff was tested today. So you toughed it out. We appreciate that. Chris, any final words?
Nah, man, that's it. It's going to be a good game this Saturday. We rocking and rolling. And fuck all the Garys with one R and fuck all the Christians with the CH. Let's get it popping. Let's go.
All right. And then just as always, you guys know we're going to be live post-game after the Red Bulls into Miami game Saturday afternoon. So catch us. What's going to be? The game starts at 2 or at 4? I forget.
2 p.m., sir.
2 p.m. Okay, so we'll be getting on here at 4. I knew it was either 2 or 4. So we'll be on here around 4 o'clock for the post-game show, so make sure you join us for that. And I think that's about it. So if you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5-star comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you are watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. Follow Gary with 2 R's. And for those of you on the chat, we appreciate you kicking with us, as always, for the last hour. And you guys are the best part of the show. We appreciate you hanging out with us all the time. And if you are listening to this after the fact, please comment. Those are also fun. And we're going to start screenshotting those and sharing those, because a lot of guys talk shit about me. And that's it. So on Saturday, we'll catch you guys. So until the next one, have a good one.